I forgot to say in the beginning, at Central Church, we're a Jesus church where everyone is welcome, and where no one is perfect, and where everyone is loved, and anything is possible. So on this Palm Sunday, as we celebrate with joy Jesus going into Jerusalem, let me ask you, how happy are you with your work, or with your relationships, with your outlook on life, with the decisions you've made? Because let's be honest, we're all looking for joy, and there's all kinds of self-help recipes to find joy and happiness, but it doesn't always work like that, does it? Because before we know it, there's heartache, and there's heartbreak, and there's loss, and there's death. And all of a sudden, that happiness, that joy just kind of disappears. How do we live a life filled with joy and with happiness, even when our circumstances are not necessarily that amazing? Is it even possible? Because the problem is we try and create the happiness and joy, but we can't. So to help us with this, I'm going to take you to one of Paul's most beautiful letters for me, is the book of Philippians. In chapter 2, we're going to read 11 verses with you, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, Philippians 2, 1 to 11. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges, and He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when we read this, what is God trying to say to us in our search for living happy lives filled with joy? I think there are three things that we should notice in this passage. Firstly, there's a warning, then there's an invitation, and then there is a challenge. The warning starts in verse 4 when Paul says, "Do not think of your own interests only." And I think the reason Paul starts with this is because Paul wants to warn us of falling into the trap of self-interest, where everything is focused on me, and everyone needs to focus on me, and it's all about me and my interests, and they have to be served. So let me just stop myself here for a second before I go on. In saying that, Paul is not saying that we shouldn't care about our own lives, that our own families don't matter, that our own marriages don't matter, that our own relationships don't matter, and that we shouldn't be taking care of them. Really important. But there's that little operative word in there. Only. Do not think of your own interests only. Because Paul knows that self-interest, that eye trouble that I've spoken about so often, lies at the heart of so much of our brokenness. Just think about it for a second. When it's all about me, when everything has to go my way, when everything has to be done my way, when everything has to turn around me and I'm the center of the little universe, what does that do? Look at the world. It ruins lives. We saw that just a little while ago in our neighbors down south. It destroys relationships. When I'm in a relationship with someone and all of a sudden I am it and all has to be my it, how can that relationship grow when it's supposed to be us? It kills teams. And I know this is so old that it's kind of, yeah, it's lost its flavor, but it's so true. There is no I in team. The moment in the team it becomes me and all that I want and all that I think and my ideas, and it's all about me, that team is done for. It sabotages community, even church communities. If all of a sudden it has to go my way and be done my way, there will be no joy. Because that's what self-interest will do with you. Self-interest will take away all your joy and all your happiness, because it can't always be you and about you. So Paul warns us and he says, you want to live a life of joy? Do not think of your own interests only, but also of those of others. But then he goes on. He says, but here's an invitation. You must have, says verse 5, the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What's Paul saying to us with this invitation? He says, if you want to live a life of joy and happiness in God, then look at Jesus and follow Jesus' example and model your lives according to the pattern that you find in Jesus' life. And you know how a pattern works, right? You go and you buy the pattern, but it's four different sizes, different shapes. But it's one pattern, but you can adjust that. He says, to find the joy that God gives, look at Jesus. Look at his life, how he lived his life, what he did with his life, and model your life after that. But as I say that, I need to stop us there for a second, because before we can move ahead with modeling our lives against that of Jesus, I need to ask you a question. What does your picture of Jesus look like? I did a little research and I went online and I looked at all the paintings that I could find of Jesus. And you know what these wonderful artists have done? Jesus is always serious. Jesus never smiles. He's on a cross and he's carrying a cross and he's sitting at the table, but he's not friendly with all the people. And when he's moving along, he's never smiling. He's always this kind of very serious, kind of scary image. To find a laughing Jesus full of joy, you have to go to the children's Bible. And here and there, you're lucky to find a smile on his face. What is your picture of Jesus like? Can I just tell you what the real picture of Jesus is like? Go read the Bible. Just go see a little bit. Did you see that people wanted to be in Jesus' presence? Do you think they wanted to be in the presence of someone that wasn't full of joy and happiness? They wanted to be there because he's always so serious and sad? And no, they wanted to be in his presence because of the joy that came out of him. Why do you think little kids wanted to be around him? Why did the moms want to bring them close to Jesus? Because there was no joy? Of course not, because he was full of joy. Why do you think those 12 hung out with him? Boy, he had to have a lot of joy to deal with them. That's just tongue in cheek. How many people invited him to come have dinner in their houses? Do you think they did that because there was no joy and happiness in Jesus? When he sits at that table, eats that last meal with them, what does he speak about? He speaks about joy. So the invitation is, take a look at Jesus. And to find God's joy and happiness in your life, model your life against that of Jesus. But where did that joy start? How could he have the joy with all of the things that he knew and all of the things that were going on? It starts with that amazing thing called surrender. Verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then verse 6, 7, 8, 9. He was God, did not cling to his position as God and say, I'm not going down there. He surrendered that. And he came down and became a human being, little baby born in a manger. Young man working with his dad with his hands in the wood. Grew up and had no home of his own. Said that. Birds of nest, foxes of dens, son of man doesn't even have a place to put his head. His whole life was a life of giving, surrendering. And when that moment came where he had to surrender his life, he surrendered it freely into the hands of those who came to capture him. When he came to that moment, when he had to die on that cross, he surrendered himself freely and he died on that cross because he knew that the joy would come. There was Friday, but Sunday was coming. To find the joy of God starts with surrender. It's not in grasping. It is in relinquishing. It's not in holding. It's in letting go. It's not in taking. It's in giving. The heart of God's joy is found in surrender. And one of the best examples of that is this exact Sunday called Palm Sunday. He rides into Jerusalem on that donkey. Not because he's going to be a king on a throne. Jesus knew this is it. Those hosannas will soon become crucified. And he knows as he sits at that table, he's going to surrender himself in a little while. Goes into that garden knowing that he will surrender to those soldiers. Those soldiers take him and he surrenders to them knowing that they will go and they will hurt him. And he will suffer. He surrenders himself, allows himself to be put on the cross. Because in surrender, we find the joy. Because he surrendered, we read in verse 9, 10, 11, God gave him the name above all names. And in that name will bow every knee, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. But it starts with surrender. And that's God's invitation. And I have found this in my own life. And I still struggle with this often. I found that when I'm losing my joy, when I'm struggling with all these things, God invites me to surrender. Aubrey, surrender your world. Surrender the obstacles. Surrender those little strategies that you have. Surrender those things that you are trying to manipulate and make work so that you can find it. Surrender those to me and allow me to take care of that. And in those moments where I've learned to surrender, I have found the happiness and the joy of God that goes beyond this world and comprehension and the superficial joy that the world brings. But not only does the Lord say, "Do you want my joy?" So here's a warning. Don't live for yourself only. Be careful of self-interest. Not only is there this invitation, surrender, but there's also a challenge. And I take you back to verse 4. Do not live for your own interests only, but, and there's the biblical but also for the interests of others. The challenge from God is, do you want to experience joy, happiness? Then give yourself to others. I want to show you something. So I have a candle. If I can get it lit, it'll work. I have a candle. Candle is lit. So I'm talking about, if I want to experience God's happiness, I give myself to others. Look at Jesus. He gave himself from beginning to end. I have come to give you life in abundance, and he gives. I am the bread of life, and he gives. I am the light of the world, and he gives. So here's this candle. This candle is lit and it's burning and it has a flame and it's doing exactly what it should be doing. But here's a candle. This candle, it's not burning. It's not doing what it should be doing. It's dead. So when this candle goes over and it lights this other candle, tell me something. What did this candle lose by lighting this candle? Nothing. Nothing. Still has its flame. Still has all its power. Still has all its light. But all of a sudden, this candle who had nothing, that was dead, that wasn't doing what it should be doing, that didn't have what it needed to give, all of a sudden, this candle is lit and it's burning and it's fulfilling its purposes. Let me put them out. Sorry for the little bit of smoke there. Here's the challenge. Do you want to experience God's joy? Give yourself to others. You're that candle that's burning. To light that other candle takes nothing away from you. Nothing. But it makes that other candle so strong that it can burn, that it can bring light, that it can be all that it was intended to be. Give your life away. Will you start with that at home? With your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your parents? Go into the world with that and see how it changes the world as you give yourself. A missionary called E. Stanley Jones writes a book. It's called The Unshakable Kingdom and the Unchangeable People. And he writes in the book and he says, in his work as a missionary, he met two kinds of people. Says the largest number were these people who were focused on themselves, all self-interest only, and it's all about themselves. He says, and they were the most miserable bunch of people that he ever met on the face of the earth. And then there was this small group that gave themselves freely to others. And these people, he says, he discovered, lived their lives with a deep, wild joy. Can I invite you to live your life with a deep, wild joy? Amen. Pray with me. Thank you for this Palm Sunday, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for riding in on that donkey knowing exactly where you were going. Thank you for going to Gethsemane, for going to Pilate's court of injustice, for enduring all the pain inflicted by the soldiers, for allowing yourself to be nailed to a cross, and for dying for us. As we celebrate this day, we know that Thursday and Friday are coming, but also Sunday. We thank you that you surrendered so that we may have life in all of its abundance. Help us then, Lord, not to fall into the trap of self-interest, but to surrender and to give away our lives freely. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.